Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to In Real Life with Evan Halperin. It has been relatively a slow news day. Today, on July 30th, 2024, nothing extremely of note has happened. However, while the day has been slow, there is a story picking up some steam, which is Kamala Harris. Who is she going to pick as vice president? Now, I personally think that she should pick somebody who is actually currently not even in contention, and this person is former Vice President Joseph R. Biden. I think that the best way forward for the Democrats is that they walk out, right? They say, look, this guy Biden, current president, not fit to be president anymore. However, he is still going to be president. We're not going to try to take him out of office. But we know he's not fit to be president, so we're not going to allow him, or we're not going to support him to run for the presidency again, right? His cognitive decline, he's senile, not fit, but he could be vice president. Huh? We're just going to flip the ticket. That would convince me to vote for Democrat. I would vote blue this November if that happened. Truly, I would. Not a joke. As Biden would say, not a joke. I would vote Democrat if they just say, look, he can't run for president, but he can run for vice president. I would vote for them. Unfortunately, that's probably not going to happen, or maybe fortunately, because that way I don't have to vote for Democrat. There are three real candidates currently. Probably. There might be a fourth. The three current real candidates in contention are Mayor Pete, Secretary of Transportation currently, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, and Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. So there are two kind of quasi-candidates who, according to polling, Democrats would not mind if they were vice president. These two people are, first off, Gavin Newsom of California, the current governor. He's constitutionally barred. He can't run because that would mean that both the president and vice president would be from the same state, which is California. Gavin Newsom's the governor, and Kamala's just kind of from there. And Gretchen Whitmer, who said publicly that she didn't have much interest in running for election currently. So while she is maybe still in contention behind closed doors, right, this could be some sort of Democrat, like, misdirection. It's probably not. It's probably only the three candidates who I mentioned. So the first, or the probably most popular, is Mayor Pete. He's most likely the most well-known nationally. He is the current transportation secretary, or secretary of transportation. He's in Biden's cabinet. He's the former mayor of a town in Indiana, South Bend, which is not a big town by any means. It's a pretty small town. And what I mean when I say that is that it has 100,000 residents. Now, I say that as I'm sitting in a town of about 10,000 residents. However, my mayor is currently not running or not in contention for vice president. So while South Bend, granted it has about 10 times the residents of the town I am currently sitting in, this is in contrast to if he was to be vice president, he would be governing over about 330 million citizens at any given time, plus 10, 15 million illegal immigrants and tourists at any given time. That's a big jump. This is part of the problem that he ran into when he was running for president in 2020, which is how he gained some notoriety. He doesn't have much experience. And now you would say, well, he's Secretary of Transportation, so he got a lot of experience during that, probably, right? Like what did he do? What was his record? Well, his record was so bad that he was dubbed the Secretary of Failures. And so I'm going to go through just three or four things that happened during his reign, during his servitude as the Secretary of Transportation. Supply chain issues in 2021. Where ships were forced to wait off the coast of California, just kind of staggered due to log jams onshore, and then there was a trucker shortage. This all goes into the same thing, where the transportation of logs and lumber slowed, and rail yards faced massive clogs due to this. On top of that, there were shortages of items like toilet paper, raw materials for construction, such as lumber. This is, I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago, there was an extreme price hike for the cost of wood, lumber, timber, that sort of thing. He was the reason why. Semiconductors for technology also, and the shortages led to higher prices. This was part of the reason why in the business sector costs were so high. And this is a real quote. This is what he blamed it on. He said, "Demand is up. Because income is up, because the president has successfully guided this economy out of the teeth of a terrifying recession." So he said, because Biden's economy is so good, I'm terrible at my job. That's what that quote means. Obviously, it's bullshit. Obviously, it doesn't actually work when you think about it logically, but this is what he said. In the middle of all this, he took a months-long paternity leave, which would be bad in and of itself. And then you think, you stop and you wait, and you realize that the guy's gay. I don't know if you guys know what paternity leave is, but that's when you have a kid, you take time off, right? He's gay, though. So what kids is he having? What is he doing on this paternity leave? Very bizarre. As vice president, he won't be able to take paternity leave. Although he's really not able to take paternity leave as Secretary of Transportation either. So is he going to? What happens if Kamala has some sort of emergency? God forbid, I don't want this to happen at all. What happens if Kamala has some sort of emergency and then we have to turn to the vice president and he's off taking paternity leave as a gay guy? I'm going to write a sitcom about that, I think. That would gain ratings, as Trump says. People would watch that. Anyways, he came back from paternity leave, and then he predicted it would get better by the holidays. This is a real quote. He said about traffic, about air traffic cancellations with planes, with trains, and he said, "I predict it will get better by the holidays." And then during Christmas of 2022, Southwest and other airlines, due to operational failures, canceled about 17,000 flights and stranded over 2 million passengers. And ABC News, which is a left-wing media organization, make no mistake about it, called it the biggest shutdown of U.S. aviation since the attacks of September 11th, 2001. This was working with the Federal Aviation Administration outage. And the FAA is a bureaucrat organization, but it works under Buttigieg. So this was 100% in Buttigieg's scope of work, scope of practice, and something he could have worked on, not fixed 100%, but something that he certainly could have made better. On top of that, this is the last example I have, although I could go on for much longer. There was a strike by railroad workers that was ensuing, that the government was supposed to work with, try to help, try to stop. This was Mayor Pete's job at the time, Secretary of Transportation. And during this, he was in Portugal, just vacationing. You know, maybe I'll give him credit. Maybe he thought, look, I'm not doing my job when I'm, like, in D.C. anyways, so I might as well not do my job in a foreign country. Right? He couldn't have made it any worse. Maybe that was his thought process. He was like, oh, I'm already inept. I might as well use taxpayer money to go be inept somewhere else, I guess. I could understand that train of thought. So while he is the most well-known candidate, he also has had the most failures. This is because he's been put in the position to have the most failures. Then you have Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona. So Arizona is currently a huge battleground state. It is a battleground state that Democrats probably, most likely, had to commit fraud in to win in 2020. Arizona, for the past 40, 50 years, has been a battleground state. It has been close, always, 55.5 to 49.5%. However, the wins usually go to the right, with Republicans winning 10 out of the last 12 times. But the state, nevertheless, is still a pretty big battleground state. He could help with that. Unfortunately, majority of people have no clue who this guy is. Most people have no idea what he's for, or what his record is, which is probably good for him because his record is not stellar at all. There's not a problem. He is a sitting senator. There's not a problem with him leaving the Senate because by law he has to be replaced. But the downside of this guy, Mark Kelly, is that he's just not very popular. It's very probable that you listening have not heard his name. There was a poll done for Democrats and who they would have liked to have been chosen for as VP. 56% said they either didn't have opinion on him or they actually just didn't know who he was. So he's an option, but he's probably not a good option. And then we come to who, if I was a Democrat, would be my choice, which is Governor Josh Shapiro. This is the governor of Pennsylvania, which is currently, it's a pretty big battleground state, but it's not a battleground state like Arizona, where there's toss-ups, and there have been toss-ups for the past, like, 50 years, generation. This is a battleground state that is a battleground state because of Trump. So before Trump, before 2016, Pennsylvania had been blue six straight times. It voted blue this last six presidential cycles. And then 2016, Trump won. 2020, he did lose, but he was the first to win in six elections. So that Pennsylvania is less so of a battleground state like Arizona. So there's less allure for Shapiro over Kelly in that regard. Shapiro's probably the most no-nonsense, probably the most, maybe the most moderate. He comes across as a common-sense type of guy, more so than Kamala. He definitely comes across as smarter than Kamala. This is what he could help her with. The main problem is that this guy, Josh Shapiro, is a Jew, and he supports Israel big time. Now, that's not a problem with me. I was born Jewish. I also support currently Israel in the conflict going on in the Middle East. I don't care that he's Jewish. The far left, however, does care that he's Jewish. The far left cares so much that they've given him the nickname Genocide Josh. Now, this episode is not about what's going on in Israel right now, because that's not what my podcast is about. That's a foreign country. The same thing now. I don't really care about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. I don't really care about what's going on in Gaza and Israel. However, what I will say, this is one of the sole points I will make about this conflict, is that if you even refer to it by the word genocide, you are an idiot, and you have a sheer misconception of what's going on. This is a real issue where Democrats are divided. You have the more moderate Democrats who either support Israel or don't care, and then you have the far left Democrats who support Gaza and Hamas. And these are all the idiots that won't vote for him, and by association won't vote for Kamala if he's put up on the ticket. That's the real problem with Shapiro. For the Democrats, that's probably pretty unfortunate because he definitely has some widespread recognition. He's a guy, he has some name recognition, he's known. He's not known as an extremist, but you do have some extremists who won't vote for him because he's not an extremist. It's the problem that the Democrats are running into. It's going to be very interesting to see what Kamala does. I would pick Shapiro if I was her. That's the best choice easily. I would speculate that she's going to go with Buttigieg. Who knows? It's going to be very interesting to see. Now we're prepared for whoever she picks. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for taking a listen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Get out of here.